So anyway, I thought I'd start out with a visual of the symptoms. And it's not just about your tingly, numb, and painful feet. It can happen in any area of the body. Peripheral neuropathy just means the peripheral nerves outside of the spinal cord and the brain, those nerves are damaged. And so it can cause a myriad of symptoms, and it can even change your skin, hair, and nails. Motor nerve damage, like you'd have trouble with coordination and moving, and cramps, painful cramps, muscle loss, because if the nerves that go to your muscles die, then you don't get that, the muscles don't get that stimulation. And fasciculations, that's when the muscles contract, but they're not coordinated. It's like, it looks like a bunch of worms if you saw the muscle fasciculating. And bone degeneration. So that is some symptoms you don't usually think about. I don't, when you think about peripheral neuropathy. And I thought I'd give you a picture of the neuron. And this myelin sheath here is what disintegrates. And then that leaves the nerve, the axon inside, vulnerable to damage. So when you're trying to regenerate your axon, see, if the nerve cell, the body is dead, I don't think you can regenerate the nerve, but it's usually not dead. This is protected inside the spinal cord, and it's usually this axon that is damaged in some way. And so that's what we want to rebuild. And I'm not going to go through all my notes, but here's basically the summary. You address the cause first, like with anything. You want to figure out why do you have this? And the most common cause is diabetes or prediabetes. It's that high blood sugar that binds to the proteins that damages them. All the diabetes damage that I know of is caused by this, they call it glycation, when the sugar attaches to the protein. It can be caused by infection. Is Lisa here yet? She got it from Lyme disease. There's many drugs, including chemo, that can cause the neuropathy, but a lot of drugs that are further down in the notes that you might not think of, like statins and the acid blockers in the stomach cause nutritional deficiencies that can they can cause it. Heavy metals can cause nerve damage, and other toxins, including alcohol, don't drink much, and low thyroid and trauma or pressure on a nerve. That can be from a tumor or an accident, all that can damage the nerve. And bone marrow disorders and copper deficiency. And evidently, this is more common than they believed before. They're finding copper deficiency is causing neuropathy. So you can't just get a blood test for minerals. You have to get a red blood cell test might show it, or a hair analysis for copper deficiency. If you take too much zinc, it can cause a copper deficiency because they work in balance. Anyway, then supplements. These are the major supplements that I found in the research. Alpha-lipoic acid. If you take the R alpha-lipoic acid, it was shown to be more orally. It was shown to be more effective than an IV regular alpha-lipoic acid. So when you buy lipoic acid, alpha-lipoic acid, make sure it's R. And the fat-soluble B1 is called benfotiamine. I think Hope uses this for her peripheral neuropathy and is showing some improvement. And this is more effective than taking the thiamine, which is the regular B1. And when this is a new revelation, when you're taking B6, do not take pyridoxine. Don't take the cheap form. Get, which I have to buy new stuff now, but take this pyridoxal 5-phosphate. And this is the form that your body can use. In fact, if you use pyridoxine, like is in the cheap B supplements, it can cause a deficiency in this active form. So that's a new revelation. And B12, they were saying methylcobalamin, and I think Sue takes another form. Nancy, do you know the other form?
Hydroxycobalamin.
Hydroxy, thanks, Liz.
Yeah.
So those are the two good forms. Never take cyanocobalamin. You don't want to take, I always think you never want to take cyanide, right? And then acetyl L-carnitine. We were just discussing that as it improves energy production in the mitochondria. And L-citrulline, I forget the logic behind that, but there is some. And then folate. You don't want folic acid, you want folate, right? So that's that. And they do have studies that show that near infrared light helps regenerate nerves. Now, it has to be this specific wavelength. They're not all the same. And the pads must cover the entire area of your nerve damage. This woman says FDA cleared, if you have any faith in the FDA. And then not a handheld device. You can get, these cheapies that you hold over the area, but she suggested a pad that covers the area. And then here's a couple of links. There's exercises for foot neuropathy. So like foot and leg exercises. Now I'll just go over like the mainstream information. I always go, if I want to learn about a subject, I go to some mainstream site and see the basics, learn the basics. This is what the average doctor knows, which is limited. But these are the causes. This is the Mount Sinai site. And it says diabetes is the most common cause. Autoimmune disorders like rheumatoid arthritis or lupus, chronic kidney disease, infections like HIV, shingles, hep C, and of course Lyme, low levels of B1, B6, B12, or other vitamins. So that's mainstream information. Metabolic disease, that's like pre-diabetes, and poisoning due to heavy metals such as lead. Poor blood flow to the legs, an underactive thyroid, bone marrow tumors, it can be inherited, trauma or pressure on a nerve, long-term alcohol use, these other toxins like glue, lead, mercury, solvents. I know people who use a lot of solvents can get heavy-duty nerve damage. I know somebody with ALS. And he had a cleaning business, used a lot of solvents. And these drugs that treat infections. Oh, this is how Hope got it from Cipro. And over the years, I've gotten to know four people who've gotten peripheral nerve damage from Cipro. And one young man in his 30s ended up in a wheelchair. So, yeah, antibiotics aren't, perfectly safe either. And then pressure on a nerve, like carpal tunnel syndrome, and being exposed to cold temperatures for a long period of time, and pressure from bad fitting casts, or yeah, if you have like something that doesn't fit properly and causes too much pressure. And these symptoms are tingling or burning in the arms and legs, often starting in your toes and feet. And then it turns into deep pain in the feet and legs, loss of feeling, numbness can cause, and that can lead to the loss of balance and stumbling. So you're more likely to fall if you have this. Muscle weakness, problems digesting food. So if you have problems with your digestive tract, it could be a neuropathy. It could, that might be the cause or one of the causes. And specifically, if you feel full and have heartburn after eating only a little food, that could be a sign. Trouble swallowing. I knew a man years ago who had trouble swallowing after surgery, and he could never, he had to have a feeding tube the rest of his life. And I looked it up, and there's a large percentage after the age of 50 of people having trouble swallowing. And so, because your whole digestive tract is run by your vagus nerve, really, you can have, if you have damage to that, you can have diarrhea or constipation and vomiting, undigested food. Postural hypotension, like if you stand up and get dizzy, that's a sign. And you might have, if you have heart problems, if you have heart problems, you might not feel it because of the nerve damage. Sexual problems, leaking urine, sweating too little or too much, which we were talking about last time. And so problems controlling the body temperature. And these are the treatments that the mainstream uses. Controlling diabetes, stop drinking or using other toxic substances, correct low levels of B12 or other vitamins, drug that then they use drugs to suppress the immune system if it's due to an autoimmune disorder. So we've done things on autoimmunity that might help rather than suppress your immune system, which just doesn't sound like a good idea. And then sometimes they ha do surgery to remove the pressure from a nerve. I guess carpal tunnel syndrome, they do that. Exercises, they suggest. And then finally, the wheelchairs, braces, and splints that would help mobility. So then I go into all kinds of stuff. Like the details. So, but I'd like to give somebody else a chance to talk.
I can talk for a minute. Okay. So this has been a problem for me. Like, I don't really know how long, but I know when I remember being in high school, my legs would fall asleep if I was sitting in the chair. So I think it's like bad circulation is the main cause for me. But in the past few years, I've been treating it with heat lamps and acetyl-L-carnitine, and I was using the benfotiamine for a while. And then I think since I quit using it, I think I need to get back on it because I think it's been a little worse since I quit using it. But
What was that carnitine? Was that N-acetylcarnitine or was it L-carnitine?
L-carnitine.
Do you take that on an empty stomach?
Yeah, I actually take it 3 times a day now. I
Okay.
take it with I have some with my coffee and I have some with my breakfast, and now I've started having some with my lunch.
Oh, okay. So
Yeah, because
the amino acids that start with L are the free ones, and they compete with the protein in your stomach, so they're more effective if you take them on an empty stomach. That's why
okay.
they stick N-acetyl on amino acids so that they're better absorbed with food.
Okay, well, this is
Okay.
take acetyl L-carnitine, and after I have the coffee, the stomach isn't going to be empty for the rest of the
Right.
day.
I know. I
So
can. Yeah.
I know we use it with horses a lot, and with the horses, you just put it in their feed and it works.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Yeah, so it might be better on an empty stomach, right? But I don't think you need to have an empty stomach to make it work.
Okay.
Yeah, so I have a lot of days where I don't have any symptoms, and I'm switching over to my computer here. So I'm going to turn this one off.
Okay, I'm going to stop share so we can see it too.
Wait a second.
Okay.
So
So
I
I
have,
have.
most days I don't have symptoms anymore. So, if I don't get enough sleep, or a lot of times if I'm in bed for a long time, I think the nerves get compressed and the circulation goes down. But with the red lights, I think are really helpful, and I just use heat lamps. Nothing fancy. So I think since I do a lot of things and I'm pretty active, it's pretty much under control.
Is
Okay.
the heat lamp, is that infrared or?
Yeah, you want to see one?
Okay. Oh,
They're
actually,
just
if you have a link to where you buy them, I could put
you
that in
just
the
get them at like any hardware store or Tractor Supply. They're the same ones that you use, for chickens.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I just there's instructions on the internet for how you can make a little sauna out of your bathroom shower or your closet with the heat lamps. You can do that. I'm too lazy, and I just put them on the floor, and I have them shiny on my legs when I'm doing yoga, or if I just lie down, and just have them shiny on my legs. So, I mean, to me, that's easy and cheap. So that's what I do, but I'm sure there are better things that you could do. But that's pretty effective. I mean, you can feel the difference.
Okay.
And it might just be the circulation, or it might be a direct effect, because I know it can be part of the problem, poor circulation.
Okay.
Yeah. For
But
the
you
L-carnitine, I
think
love the L-carnitine. I'm going to say this. The L-carnitine is the one supplement besides coffee that I can actually feel working. So when I take it in the morning with my coffee, the coffee wakes up my brain. And then within an hour, the L-carnitine starts to work. And my muscles want to move. And I can feel my muscles are wanting to move and do stuff. And that's the carnitine. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
Yeah,
what did you say? Alcart?
acetyl
L-carnitine.
L-carnitine.
Oh, L-carnitine.
Yeah, acetyl L-carnitine is the L-car.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I think too, like movement is so important. And even
Yeah.
things like getting the energy moving with Qigong or the power, what is it, the vibration plate or something like that. Because I'm getting it too, and all of a sudden my big toe started with this like pins and needles. And then bottom of my foot, and now I'm finding when I wake up in the morning, because I've been still for 8 hours, my feet will hurt,
Yeah.
and I don't get enough movement. So I'm trying to get into a routine doing like Qigong and walking and stuff. But I might try that lamp too, the heat lamp,
Yeah.
and the L-carnitine might be good too. But
Yeah.
it's interesting because I never knew much about it except that diabetics get it. And I didn't realize so many people get it and so many different things can cause it. So, yeah, I don't have good circulation in my legs.
Yeah.
But it could be causing it.
Yeah.
Did you ever take your pulse in your legs to see if there's a pulse down there near your ankles?
My doctor did that one day.
You have a pulse?
Yeah, he said it was okay. I thought he was so cute down there by my ankles. I wanted to pat his head. Yeah.
Much of the L-carnitine do you take?
I take a gram at a time. I just moved it up to 3 grams a day because I read they use it for ALS, Legeric's disease. And I think their experimental dose was like 2 grams or 3 grams, I forget.
That's a big dose. I can see how.
And for the horses, it's 10 grams per 1,000 pounds of horse, which
Wow.
just sounds to me like a huge round off. Yeah.
Well, another thing with circulation, because I used to get this Raynaud's disease where the tips of my fingers would just turn white. I
Yeah.
started eating cayenne pepper,
Ah.
and it went away. I don't know for sure if that's what helped, but it does help with circulation.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't take cayenne pepper anymore, but I do a lot of spices, other spices that may be helping with circulation.
Yeah. Oh, and a
Another.
friend of mine told me recently she found something online. It said rub cayenne pepper on the bottom of your feet. So I haven't
Yeah,
done that today, but
I
I'll
think
wear
it would be
that.
hot.
Probably make your feet sweat.
Yeah, just don't get it in your eyes.
Yeah, right.
Horrible.
I have very cold feet, and my acupuncturist suggested taking some raw ginger and slicing a couple of slices and putting boiling water over it for 5 minutes or so, and then, adjusting the temperature so you can put your feet in, and then just soaking my feet in there. And I just started doing that, so I don't know whether that's going to be helpful or not. But that was her suggestion for cold feet, because my feet are like ice cubes. They're just so cold.
Yeah, I don't see how that could not be helpful.
Oh.
You have any sign of Jennifer, do you have any sign of neuropathy?
I was thinking that I didn't, but when you went over that list, the one that jumped out at me was leg cramps. So I've had leg cramp issues over the years, and I take plenty of magnesium and calcium. So I don't know, but I don't have the tingling or the burning. But I have cold hands and feet, and I have leg cramps. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, leg cramps can be for a lot of reasons. Has to do with calcium and magnesium usually, though. Yeah.
But I've been using the pendulum for taking my supplements for several months now, and I'm taking way less calcium and magnesium than I used to, based on what the pendulum suggests. And the cramps have decreased, but they haven't gone away completely. So I haven't quite figured out what might be causing them or what is off.
Yeah, maybe it's the balance. How about potassium? Have you tried that?
Oh, you know, that's something that I've not looked at.
Yeah, because when I, as I'm detoxing from the oxalates, I put electrolytes in my water, including potassium. That's the one. I have CalMag and salt in there, but it's the potassium I had to order.
Okay, thank you.
You know something else that happened with me with my cold feet? Because, like, I would have to wear socks in the winter. I mean, in the summer, even when my house was like 78 degrees in the summer, I would have to wear socks, heavy socks to bed. But I got a grounding mat. And when I put the grounding mat in the bed with me, I didn't have to put the socks on anymore. I mean, I do in the winter, but in the summer, I didn't have to wear socks because my circulation was like that much better with this grounding mat thing.
So that's actually one of those that plugs into the ground of your.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to mention also.
Go ahead.
Okay. You mentioned about the myelin sheath over the nerves, and I was reading up years ago about you know, the hormones and stuff, and there has been some. Now, I don't remember if it was studies or what, but that the progesterone can restore that myelin sheath. And you've heard that too?
No, but I love progesterone. It counteracts estrogen.
Yeah, and I don't remember, but I think that there was some relationship too with Lou Gehrig's disease, because that's, or other diseases where the myelin sheath gets deteriorated. And the progesterone, I can't remember exactly, but I remember progesterone was helpful.
Yeah.
I'm going to look that up to see if there's any studies.
I just wonder what it is, why diabetics get it so much.
Oh, that's the glycation of proteins. When you have, mm-hmm. and you don't even have to be full-blown diabetic. If you have high blood sugar, it will attach to the proteins. It's called glycation, and that's what damages so many of your nerves and other parts of your body is that's at least one mechanism. So you don't want high blood sugar, and triglycerides, that's another sign. If you have high triglycerides, that's another sign that your blood sugar has been too high.
Connie, does that happen even if you've been on an insulin program?
Well, If you're being treated and you keep your blood sugar low, that will help. But with diabetes, even if you're treated, it's, you know, it goes up and down with your treatment. So you have, if you have a constant glucose monitor on, I think that would be probably the best way to treat if you have severe diabetes. You know. Well,
one of my best friends from high school and college and life, she had three children, and the second was a very large child. She was over 12 pounds when she was born. And they warned her then that if she had a third child, the chances of getting diabetes were very high. And she went ahead, they had the third child. And within, I think it was within 8 to 10 months after Katie was born, Anne developed diabetes. And it was bang. I mean, it just right on, and the worst kind you can get. So she
is it diabetes 1 or 2?
Well, 1. It's isn't that the worst? Yeah,
that's when you're
they tried first. Okay. She was hospitalized, then controlled it with diet for about 6 months, and then went right on to insulin. So she's been through all of these advances in the things that diabetics can take. Even the internal pump, that she reads a meter and she can tell. She now has the patch, that thing on her arm, that she can tell by that. But she's a year older than I am. She's 82 now. And within the past year and a half, she has gone into this neuropathy, and it's debilitating. And she's also having, She has glaucoma. She's getting macular degeneration. The disease is really taking over. And yet this girl has been on every regime you can do for daily care of diabetes since she was, oh my goodness, 32, 34, somewhere in there. So almost 50 years she's been on medication, and yet she's still, it really is going to put her in a
wheelchair. Well, not give her the notes. Because
I really,
huh?
It really concerns me because she's
there are many, many studies with diabetic neuropathy and these supplements that I listed, and these supplements, especially the alpha lipoic acid and the benfotiamine, they really help.
Okay,
if you have diabetes,
I'd really like to be able to send her a copy of this recording so she can.
Yeah, I'll send it out.
She's going to the doctors all the time because she is really and what she's afraid of, because she is a big bone girl. Don't get me wrong, that she is obese. She's very, very well proportioned, but she was always one of the tallest girls in class and really big boned. But she is afraid now of balance. In fact, for her birthday, I gave her the Hurricane with the four holders on it. And she said it was her best birthday gift she'd ever gotten. She loves it because now she has something stable. She said before, even just walking, she was beginning to notice not dizziness, but just an imbalance because of this neuropathy in her legs. So that's why, I don't mean to dwell on the diabetes, but you did say that it is the number
one. They believe it's the number one, and it's certainly up there.
Well, thank you.
That's good. Oh, the dog.
So all this information from Connie, she's saying that there's studies to back it, yet doctors are not telling people enough. So people have to realize that, the doctors can do so much, but if they're not giving them information, they can't just say, I'm only going to listen to my doctor. Mm-hmm. They've got to listen to the studies too. I don't know why people don't see that.
And Anna's not an ignorant person. I mean, she has a master's in zoology. Her husband's a veterinarian, retired, of course. But I'm not sure if Anne's aware of these supplements. That's why I'd like to get this information to her.
Great. She has the biology background because, she can look up the studies if she wants. And really, I think, I'm hopeful for her.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I always thought I was healthy because I had a good immune system and I don't have any major illnesses. And now I'm starting to have these physical problems. They're still not major, but it was like blowing my mind because I thought we were talking about sedentary lifestyles as being really bad. And I'm seeing that because I don't get enough exercise. And I sit at my computer a lot. Which is bad in so many ways. So I'm working on trying to change all that. But my last house in Delaware, I had the bedrooms on the second floor. I was up and down all day long, and now everything's on the first floor. And I think it's really making a difference.
You're not the first person I've heard say that. A lot of people say that when they move into one floor living, they go downhill. Really? And I believe that my husband is not in a wheelchair because we have stairs and he's motivated to go up and down.
I've stopped using my tram because I have lipedema, and I've used that tram since I had my second hip operation. And I've been doing it, what now, Connie? Almost a month and a half.
Oh, good.
And I can feel right away my shortness of breath is much better. I'm able to breathe, not be out of breath like I was. And it's not easy. And I only do it twice a day, coming down and going up. But just those two times a day, I do feel that difference. So, Jean, I think what you're saying is true.
Yeah, I have to move.
And it's not fun.
another suggestion is that when I work on the computer, I do it at the island standing up. I don't sit down. And I just find that I'm more apt to, because I'm standing up, go get something or do something while I'm working on the computer. So it just gives me that added opportunity to move.
I put on dance music if I'm doing anything in the kitchen or doing anything that's where I'm standing up or even sitting down sometimes, like any kind of dance music, but belly dancing music is good. So if you have like Pandora or something and you can go to your Turkish traditional music station, that will make you move.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other way to move a lot is get a dog. Don't have any problem there.
Because of having the problem with fracturing my sacrum, I was actually not able to go to the Y for a month. And I make a point of going to the Y 4 hours twice a week. And I do it not only for the physical exercise, but also for the stimulation. I live alone. And I do think a physical therapist recommended I start using a recumbent bike rather than the stationary bike. Of yeah. And I'm going to start doing that tomorrow. But I'm a real firm believer in exercise. And I hear other choices that are excellent, walking dogs, going up and down steps, whatever someone does that, you know, I used to do yoga. I can't believe like 40 years ago and 40 pounds lighter, I was in an ashram for a week and wow. I all day. And here, I think I really hurt my sacrum when I was on the floor doing the yoga of putting my right leg over. But I am a real firm believer that exercise is so helpful for me. And I'm looking forward to going tomorrow.
How did you fracture the sacrum? I forget.
Well, I did something that is the big no-no. I was on a ladder changing the filter in the ceiling, and I fell over on my, and this was February 19. I had absolutely no symptoms. No symptoms whatsoever. Oh. March the 6th, I thought I had sciatic pain, and I was able to see someone where they recommended cortisone. She did nothing. And after I finished that, I was able to see an orthopedic doctor who did a cortisone shot, and that helped a little bit. One of the things that I find interesting, another time I had pain on my right leg, the other thing is it has changing my bowel. And I'm one of these people that I eat, and then within an hour, everything is gone. And there is a change. And it's like something that I'm hoping I get back to what is normal for me. So it's, and I'm not quite sure. I'm scheduled to have another cortisone shot on April 16. I'm not quite sure. I have a friend that said, keep the area virginal, keep junk away from that. I also had a physical therapist say, since ice didn't help, I sat in a hot tub of water 3 times a day, hoping that that increased the circulation. But it's, I want to talk with the doctor to know in the future have something to be concerned about. I mean, you know, I have felt, you know, I've had the physical neuropathy post chemo, and I do take gabapentin, which really helps. If I don't take, I wake up during the night and I'm really in a lot of comfort. So that's my story.
Yeah. Would you be open to doing, well, like I said, steroids, you know, suck the calcium out of your bone. And so you don't want that, right?
Right.
Because that's going to make your bone and everything. That's like the opposite of healing. So there's the things that you can do to help heal the sacrum. It's hard. Do you sit like on one of those donuts or something?
This is what I got from Amazon.
Oh, yeah. So that helps. Huh?
Decided, you know, I want to, and I appreciate the information of what you're telling me, because I do take the bone strength thing once a week. Mm-hmm. When I was in therapy, I wasn't permitted to take it, but now I'm back taking it, and I think the exercise would help the bone strength. What do you think?
Yeah, if you take the supplements that, you know, much of your bone is collagen too. Uh-huh. So that thing that I sent you is about how to heal bone. And the noni juice has been shown in scientific studies to reverse postmenopausal osteoporosis. And they also give it to people who've broken bones and the bones won't heal. They mm-hmm. like refuse to heal. They give them noni juice. And so I've used noni to help my bone healed when I broke my leg. It healed in 4 weeks.
Wow.
everybody was saying, oh, you're old, it's gonna, you know, whatever, take forever. And it, I was walking on it with no boot or anything in 4 weeks. And then the other thing I used Noni for was hemorrhoids. I was trying everything and I had, you know, significant ones. And the Noni juice healed up the hemorrhoids in about 2 weeks.
What, how do you spell it?
N-O-N-I. And it, you just take 2 ounces. I take a shot glass of it every morning. I don't now, you know, I only take it if I need it.
Can you put that in the notes, Connie, or was it in previous notes?
It was in, I think early on we did one on bones and joints.
Okay.
But
where do I get the Noni?
That any health food store should have it. Swanson's has it. I get it from Swanson.
They tell you to be with emails.
Osteoporosis.
But you really want to take things that promote, and the red light therapy, I don't know if you have access to that. If you go to the Y, I wonder if they have anything like a vibrating platform.
Not that I know, I'll look into it.
Because I have one here at home and everyone that comes in the house jumps on my vibrating platform and it just shakes all your joints back into, you know, place, and it helps osteoporosis. It helps bladder control, I've been told. It helps, you know, just, it helps muscles, bones, everything.
The Qigong I do every day. And right now I'm concentrating on the seasonal program. So each of the four seasons, there's a different program with different practices. And so I really enjoy that a lot. And then the meditation, the standing meditation, is just a given that you do every single day. In fact, today with the solar eclipse, they suggest that you do the standing meditation as many times and as long as you can, just to take in that extra chi, that extra energy that's in the universe because of the solar eclipse.
Oh, okay, nice.
Yeah. What about the solar eclipse again?
So with the traditional Chinese medicine, they believe that there's just extra energy available because of the solar eclipse. So they suggest that you do the standing meditation as many times today as you can, just to take in that extra energy that's in the universe.
What is the standing meditation?
It's called the dragon stands between heaven and earth. And what you do is you stand with your knees slightly bent. You bring your arms up shoulder height. You make a soft fist. You bring your arms back. And you don't want your arms all the way up, but you don't want them straight out either. You just want them completely out to your side. And you stand, you close your eyes. And you just stand in this pose for as long as you can. And the fingers, the thumbs sort of act as antenna to bring in the energy. And I started with doing that maybe 3 minutes at a time. And now every Thursday night, we have online a 30-minute standing meditation. So I'm able to do it 30 minutes now.
You can do that for 30 minutes?
Yeah.
Wow.
But it took a while to get to that. But also I want to share that if anyone is interested, the Master Lu, his program does the standing meditation on Thursday evenings. The energy of the group is what allowed me to be able to do it for 30 minutes. I mean, I was only up to about 10 minutes and I started doing it with the group. And after several weeks, I was able to do it for 30 minutes. But it's just, I mean, there are over 100 people who do this regularly on Thursday night from all over the world.
Wow.
The belief is that we are all sharing our chi with one another, and that sort of amplifies the chi that each one of us have. And to me, it's very obvious because, as I said, I couldn't hold that pose for 30 minutes without that group.
So
now, it's difficult for me without the group for 30 minutes.
So is this part of a program that you pay for?
No, if you sign up on their email list, they will send out the link and it's no charge. So there's no charge for membership. There's no charge for doing the standing meditation on Thursday nights. The only charge they have is like the seasonal programs. There's a charge. or if you want to take one of their classes, there's a charge. But all the information on the traditional Chinese medicine foundation site and Master Lu site is all free. And there's just tons of information on there.
I want to backtrack on acupuncture. I have had some excellent results with acupuncture. And I did have it for the peripheral neuropathy. And the only difference with that particular series is that I would have to go back to get continue having more sessions. So, but the other things that I use, use the acupuncture, I had absolutely very positive results. So I highly recommend acupuncture. And especially the people that I had were very knowledgeable.